We're doing the Drashot HaRan, and the Ran had gone from some fundamental concepts that are indicated by the first mitzvah, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, and he discussed that we also see an indication for the concept of punishment and reward, and that the soul remains after it passes from the body, as he will explain. And then he went on to explain that the soul is identified by its actions. But to see life itself, what is that force that keeps the body ticking? That's something that we don't know how to identify. We see the heart pumping, but what is it that makes the heart pump? We see the mind working, but what is it that makes the mind work? We see the plant growing, but what is it that gives the plant life? We can look at the processes of life, but what is life itself? He said, that's something which we can't see. We only see the functions of life. But life itself, if you want to point to it, is something that we can't point to. We don't know where it is. So we're going to discuss the fact that there is life after death, when we can't even point to life while there is life. We see the byproducts of life. We see the functions of life. The fact that we talk, the fact that we listen, the fact that we feel, the fact that the plant grows, the fact that the animal is alive, we can see it. We can see the results of there being life within that form. But what is life itself? What is that battery that keeps all of this going, that keeps us going, that makes the plant grow, that makes the animal move, that makes us alive? We don't know. We know there's this concept of neshama, but go point it. Where is it? Up to page Mem Vav in the Shalem edition. And page Kuf Chaf Hei in the Mosander of Kuk edition. We'll go back one sentence. He said, "Hined nitba'er." So it's been clarified. Ki metziut elu anfashot kuyam mitzad erut pulotehem lo mitzad acher. That the way we can validate, the way we can prove that the soul, that life exists within these forms, is by seeing the functions of life, but not by seeing what life itself is. To view what is life, that we can't view that. Bekasher gazalnu, he continues and says, and now that we've basically postulated, so we can understand bin fashota eile shenimtzot mitzad pulotehin, we can postulate that there is life because we see the functions of life. Ken ra'u shenishpot al kiuman mi'sharutan al atzad shenire kiuman ve'efsedan. By the same token, we should postulate that the life remains just as we see that there is life, and then there ceases to be life within this being. Let's let him finish his thought, and then we'll understand better. B'inei ra'inu b'tzomchim u'v'chiyuniyim שכל הבעייתם בקיומם הוא דברים גופיים, לא זולתם. When we see that the plants, their existence is in the physical world. They have no impact, as we can see. Their life is here. What affects life of a plant? We see what affects a plant is the water, the sun, the soil. The physical is what affects the plant. You don't see that a plant has any mitzvos, and that's supposed to grant it longevity. You don't see that a plant has any averos, and that can shorten its life. No, all of a plant's life revolves around the physical.
אם כן, ראוי שנשפוט שיפסדו אלו הכוחות בהפסד הגופים שהם נשואים בו.
So then it seems logical that the life of the plant doesn't remain when the body of the plant goes, because all of life in a plant revolves around the physical. A plant doesn't seem to have any spiritual mitzvot, doesn't seem to have any connection that goes beyond the physical. So true, we say a plant is alive, but logic would seem to dictate that if the plant has no function other than the physical world here below, so then whatever life it was granted goes with it when the plant gets uprooted or when it dies.
אבל כאשר ראינו באדם שהתקיים עניינו על הפך המנהג הטבעי.
But going back to the point that he had discussed previously, that man has the capacity to overcome nature. That was the point he discussed from the mitzvot. God says there's going to be some kind of natural plague in Egypt where the firstborn die. You do my mitzvot and put blood on your doorposts, and then in an unnatural way you will live. Remember we said that was the chiddush of the Ran. We always think that the fact that the Egyptian firstborns died, that was unnatural. That we lived, okay, so God said, I will spare you. The Ran said, no, that there was a natural plague that caused the firstborn Egyptians to die. The miracle was that we remained alive. And that, Hashem said, you keep the mitzvos, and I will do things that are beyond nature on your behalf. You guys remember? Yeah. The story of Mara, the bitter water. The Ran said, you throw a bitter stick into bitter water and unnaturally that water will become sweet because Hashem says, you do the mitzvahs, I'll show you through the mitzvahs that things go better for you in an unnatural way. So, yeah.
Are we saying that all the miracles were natural?
We'll get to that. The Ran here mentioned it in passing. As we continue, the Ran will get to a point where he discusses the nature of miracles. We'll get there. So again, he says, when we see that the human being, he is not bound by nature. His life is not only about the physical. The Torah says, you perform mitzvos, and you can supersede nature. You can overcome nature. You're not bound by nature. So then it would seem logical to deduce that the fundamental life that's within him, his beginning, his soul, it would seem that his soul is not really bound by the body. It seems the exact opposite. That the body is bound to the soul. The soul is not bound to the body. Because you see, the body can stand up to things that are against its nature. There are situations where naturally Abraham is thrown into the furnace, he should be burned. Nature says the fire burns a human. Abraham, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We have stories throughout the Tanakh that indicate to us that the body is being drawn after the soul, where the body gets what the soul deserves. So then it's not logical to say when the body dies, the soul goes with it. The soul has been leading the way all along. So then the concept, we see the whole concept of a human being is that the body is running after the soul. And once we've seen that the soul can cause the body to remain around, the soul can give life to the body when it does things that have an impact, when it does the mitzvos. That was the point he made earlier. Just one second. V'chein tafsid gufa mitzad dvarim ha-mafsidim ota she'inam usim roshem baguf klal. And so too, the Torah says, you do certain sins, the Torah says a person will die young. Explain to me, why if a person eats this fat called chaylev, he's going to die young? Why? What's the logic in that? That there's no medicinal reason, to the best of our knowledge, that should cause a person to die young because he ate a piece of this fat as opposed to that fat. One kezayis, the Torah says, he's going to die young. How come? So it's an avera, the Torah says. Life revolves around your soul, and you could cause the body to die younger. But then again, the body's revolving around the soul. The soul isn't revolving around the body. So then we see from all of this that the soul is its own entity in a human being. Life in a human being is not like the life of a plant. The life of a plant seems to be in order to sustain its physical growth. So God granted it life so that it can grow, so that it can flourish. But it's all about the physical. Same thing with an animal. The second Hashem gives us a Torah and Hashem says, you have a responsibility and if you do it right, then your life is going to be prolonged. What Hashem is indicating to us is that our life is all about the neshama. The body runs after the neshama. And those of you who were here to learn about the sin of Adam and Eve, the way the Ran explained why eating from the forbidden fruit brought death to the world, you could connect these two points. This goes very well with the Ran's explanation that the forbidden fruit was really a fruit that strengthened the body. God created, the way the Ran explained was that God created Adam where the soul was the prime force in life. He was much more spiritual than physical. And then he didn't have to die. The only reason that the body has to die is because Adam ate from this very healthy forbidden fruit, which strengthened the body, which shifted the equilibrium, and now the body is much more a part of our life. And now that body, which is more healthy, well, it takes up more of what we call life, and therefore that body dies, because it doesn't go after the soul like it used to. The initial creation was that man was more spiritual, and then man didn't have to die, because the soul doesn't die. That was okay, we learned this over a few weeks. So then he says, we're just going to finish his thought. So then the existence of the soul is something that revolves around the soul itself. And so things that can harm the body don't harm the soul. But the soul remains around to keep the body going, even though the body might have harmed itself. Life is contingent on the soul and not the body. Now, obviously there comes a point, you slit a guy's throat, the soul can't stick around. But okay, we'll still work that out as we go along. Yeah?
You said that the saying is that the soul eats the body, not the other way around. Yeah, there seem to be some people that all they're doing is following after, all their soul, it's just an outlook in life, and then their life in such a way that it seems like their soul is just following after the body. In other words, whatever cravings their body has, that's what their life is about, is it satisfying them? So is it, does it say something about their neshama, or does it mean they've allowed their body to suppress their neshama, and let it lead them?
I think so. I think the latter, not the former. ולזה הצד באו יהודי התורה כולם גופיים בענייני הברכות. And in this vein, we find that the Torah, whenever it gives us blessings, the Torah's blessings are in the physical. Isn't that a surprise? We'd expect the Torah says, you keep the Torah, I will bless you that you have a more spiritual life. I will bless you in the spiritual. But that's not the way the Torah works. So in the Ramban, we saw that the Torah is the only religion that can promise physical gifts. The Torah said, the Ramban said, we learned in Drashat Torah Hashem Tmimah, he said, this is one of the proofs that the Torah is true. The Torah says, if the Jewish people as a people will perform the Torah, God says, here and now I'll grant you. I'll make you have a good life. No other religion can promise that. Hashem says, I'm giving you the Torah and I'm running the world and I'm telling you, you keep the Torah, I'll make you good. You don't have to wait for a world to come. Here and now, all the gifts the Torah promises us is, if the people live up to what I say, then here and now you'll see that things will go better for you. But the Ran is going a different route. He says the promises of the Torah all revolve around the physical. Ki be'ra'ot elu ha'inyanim gluyim lachush yitayashav balavavot she'aguf nimshach achar nefesh v'she'en ha'nefesh nimshach achar aguf. He says God wanted to promise us something that you can see. And when a person sees, hey, we kept the Torah and we had good crops. We kept the Torah and there was rain in its proper time. We kept the Torah and things went well for us. Then a person realizes, wait a second. So then the physical world revolves around the spiritual. Not the way that we feel on a daily basis where everything revolves around the physical. Yeah, you want me to learn Torah, so I have to have a good parnasa. You want me to learn Torah, so I have to eat a good breakfast. You want me to learn Torah, I have so many physical things I have to take care of. The spiritual has to revolve around the physical. That's the ordinary feeling that we have, because the physical is what we sense. Comes the Torah and says, no. You lead the correct spiritual life, and I'll bless your physical. And then you'll see that the one that's really revolving around the other is the center of life is the spiritual, and the physical revolves around the spiritual. If God would say, you keep the Torah and I'll give you a world to come, I'll give you all these fantastic things on a spiritual level, if shashayu mistafkim badava, that leaves room for doubt. So the idea is that God said, you keep the spiritual the way I want to, you won't be bound by the nature of the world. You'll be able to overcome the nature of the world. It's not a natural thing that you'll flourish here in Israel. And if you think about it, even today, Look at all the nations around us. Show us another nation that grew like this under the conditions that we live in. You know, there are nations that have people walking in the streets with guns like we do, but they also have a lot of other things going on there. Go look at what's happening throughout Africa. There are nations where you have bulletproof buses, but they're jungles. Here you have a nation that has bulletproof buses and is very technologically advanced. How does that work? How come we have this duality going on here? If you look even today, you can see it. The physical revolves around the spiritual. And the idea here is that we're supposed to understand that we're not bound by the nature of the world. We were given something that's much bigger than the laws of nature that allows us to overcome them. And that's the idea of the Torah telling us, I will bless you in the physical when you live up to the spiritual. Yeah.
Are you saying this?
Could you move the marker?
The national level, because when I see the people that seem to be the most Torah observant in Israel's society,